LSAT Demon Daily. I'm Mike Poirier. I'm a teacher and tutor at LSATdemon.com. And here with me is the founder, Nathan Fox.
Hey, founder. We got to give Ben Nelson some credit. My man Ben and I started the Thinking LSAT podcast. That's our weekly podcast. We started that 7 years ago. There's 300 something of those episodes if you want to check out a longer form podcast at Thinking LSAT. Here we have an email from Anonymous. Says, hi guys, I have two questions for you that are very related. I live in South Florida with my wife and three children. We are very reluctant to move. I could commute to University of Miami, but from their salary statistics, it does not appear their graduates earn very much. Also, knowing myself, I need to go into something meaningful and helpful, not corporate law. But I also don't want to be an underpaid and overworked public defender. Any thoughts right now? I have thoughts, but I'll let you go first.
I was just going to say that really seems like you're limiting your options. Those seem like, is law really the career for you? Why are you doing this?
Yeah, I'm like, why on earth would you go to law school? Like, this seems like a terrible idea based only on what you've told me so far. Wife, three children, don't want to move, aren't happy with the salaries that are going to come from most jobs at University of Miami. By the way, the people who make the most money are the people who are doing the soulless corporate law that you say you don't want to do. Let's be clear. I mean, the average salary for lawyers is around $100,000, but that's because the corporate lawyers start at $180,000. The people who do the good work that you think you want to do are making, they're not making six figures. And so, like, is this the decision that you actually want to make for your family? Anyway, I'll continue. Anonymous says, I earned 3.7, a 3.7 at an Ivy League for my undergrad. I got a 4.0 in my PhD in philosophy, and I'm currently averaging around 170 on my LSAT practice tests before I've actually focused on studying. So this is somebody who has all the horsepower. Like, they're a great applicant, haven't even really studied yet, and they're already a great applicant. Looking at your website, I realized I might be able to go somewhere like Duke or Cornell for free and actually earn a lot of money as a lawyer working for a national public interest operation. Maybe. Alternatively, I'm pretty sure I can go to University of Miami for free, but I'm not so sure I would actually earn good money, parentheses, over 100K coming out. Everything sounds pretty solid. So, like, it sounds like Anonymous has thought about it.
Right. The 4.0 GPA and the PhD probably isn't as relevant.
Correct.
Maybe having a PhD and having a thesis of some sort would be a feather in your cap, but not a big deal in the long run, and as far as law school is concerned anyway.
I totally agree. They don't report your grad GPA to the American Bar Association and the world. So, you know, also grad GPAs are super inflated anyway. So that 4.0, it's like, yeah, good job. But that's not, it doesn't matter, because the 3.7, which is also good. I mean, the 3.7 is going to be what they're going to report on the 509s. So that's, if you're going to play with LSATdemon.com/scholarships, that's our scholarship calculator, or sorry, estimator. Again, it's LSATdemon.com/scholarships. And you need to put in that 3.7 undergraduate GPA with your 170 or whatever you think you're going to get. But yeah, I mean, I think that's an automatic full ride to somewhere like the University of Miami.
Absolutely, especially if they're just starting off in the 170s. There's no reason why this applicant couldn't get to the high 170s.
Yeah, I do think that you could also pretty sure get a full ride to Duke or Cornell. I'm not sure, though, that you're going to then make a lot of money as a lawyer working for a national public interest. Like, I imagine you're talking about the ACLU or NAACP or some other real big, like, big time nonprofit that hires lawyers from top 14 law schools. Those jobs are going to be hyper competitive. So my concern would be that even if you do go to Duke you're going to have to kill it at Duke. Killing it at Duke is not going to be easy. Like, that's going to be rolling the dice, random chance. It's you versus a bunch of other killers like you. And, you know, are you going to finish in the top 10% of your class at Duke so that you can get that interview at the ACLU? Maybe. So, maybe not.
I'm Canadian and I don't have as much perspective into the ACLU or NAACP. My guess is, though, from your tone, that these jobs would typically go to HYS applicants and people who do really well at those schools. I'm guessing.
I think that these are the, like, he wants the unicorn job. Yeah, that's a good way of putting it. Thank you. He's looking for that unicorn job, and it is possible. But the, you know, if 10 people do this plan, I think one of them gets that job.
And a lot of people tend to think, one out of 10. I'm the one out of 10.
You have been the one out of 10 when you got into your Ivy League school. And then maybe you still were the one out of 10, although you only got a 3.7 in your Ivy League undergrad, which isn't probably one out of 10. That's probably 2 out of 10 to get that 3.7. And by the time you're on a scholarship at Duke, it's now the only people who are there are 1 out of 10.
So what are the odds of coming out of that needle in a haystack, really?
There are levels. It's very humbling. Life and the world, it's very humbling. You know, like, I'm capable of breaking 80 on a golf course, and that makes me by far better than 90% of anybody else who has ever picked up a golf club. Like, I am for sure in the 1 out of 10 golfers. And I couldn't even sniff playing on my Division II college team. Like, I was the superstar at my high school, you know? And then it's like, yeah, dude, but there's levels and levels and levels, and you're not even going to be a bench warmer on a Division II college team, let alone playing for a Division I college team, let alone, you know, like, being a pro or whatever. Like, no fucking way. Like, not even close. And so it's like, all of our students have excelled at some point in their educational career, but as they try to climb this law school mountain, the competition is getting stiffer and stiffer as you go. So let me finish up this email. What do you think? Can I go to University of Miami and actually earn good money and do something meaningful coming out? Or is it pointless to go to law school if I'm not willing to uproot my family and go to a top 25 school? Thanks. Please change my name for privacy. Yeah, we have. You are anonymous. I got to go back to my original advice. And Michael, I think, had this same thought, which was, why law school? Like, the thing I'm really not hearing here is any kind of a, like, you got to have an overwhelming desire to do the work of a lawyer. And that's the one thing I'm not hearing. I'm hearing talk about salaries, and I'm hearing a false dichotomy between doing something meaningful and not doing something meaningful. That's not how lawyers, like, the lawyers that I know, they like doing legal work. They want to be a lawyer.
So let's say this applicant does have a good reason for doing this, for the sake of the argument. What did they mention? But they said they went to an Ivy League undergraduate. Let's, I guess, paint the path of what they could do. If they were to go to University of Miami, I suppose they could leverage some connections from their Ivy League undergraduate school. But again, like Nathan just mentioned, this is assuming you're still at the very top of your class at the University of Miami. This is assuming you do have a connection that could get you in somewhere else. And it's assuming you want to do this work to begin with.
I would bet money on Anonymous killing it at University of Miami. 3.7 Ivy League. 4.0 PhD in philosophy, 170 on LSAT practice tests without really trying. That's somebody who, if you're going to go to Miami, you're going to go there for free and you're going to kill it at, I mean, if you do the work, if you actually want to be a lawyer and you bust your ass, you're going to be in the top of your class at the University of Miami. You should be. If not, you should drop out immediately. I mean, if you're not killing it, like if you don't get straight A's your first semester, you should drop out. But I think that this type of an applicant is very likely to go crush it at University of Miami. And then Michael says, leverage the connections that you have from Ivy League undergrad, leverage the connections that you might have from your PhD in philosophy. It doesn't sound like this person wants to be a lawyer.
Right. Especially when they're painting it as either corporate law, doing something. First of all, doing corporate law doesn't necessarily mean you're going to be doing something you don't like. And only looking for that public defender job that also pays well, unlikely.
Do you like the work of a lawyer? Do you have any experience in a law firm or any kind of a legal setting? Do you actually have any idea what lawyers do? Most people don't. It takes a special breed. You need to want to do highly detailed, highly tedious, solitary work. Like you need to want to get into an office by yourself and buckle down with dense mountains of documents. And you want to be the one person who's going to sort it out and write the brief that is going to win the case for your client. And none of that has anything to do with who the client actually is. That's just the work of a lawyer. The lawyers that I know that are successful want to do the work of a lawyer, and then they can go kick ass for any client. But if you don't have that first step, then I feel like this might be a mistake for Anonymous, because I just don't know that you're going to actually like law school. And I don't know that, you know, even if you do find this unicorn job, I'm worried that you're not going to like what that work actually looks like.
And even if they go for free.
Yeah.
There's an opportunity cost with that too.
For sure, go for free. I mean, go for free or don't go at all. That's a no-brainer. I mean, that's a no-brainer for everybody, but it's especially a no-brainer for people who don't seem like they necessarily know what they're getting themselves into. You really need to make sure that you're not wasting money on tuition. I also want to double down on my advice of dropping out of law school. If you don't like your first year, you're not going to like your second or third year. It's like not going to get better. So please just drop out. If you're not killing it, just drop out. There's a million things you could do besides law school. And if you're not paying tuition, then great. It's easier to drop out, right? It shouldn't be, because sunk cost fallacy, but at least you're not walking away with debt if you decide to walk away. But my first advice here is figure out whether you actually want to do the work of a lawyer. See if you can get maybe a job in a law firm, talk to a bunch of lawyers, see what they say.
Yeah, it'd be interesting to see what this applicant's personal statement looked like, if they did have something in there that could detail a bit more, something they've done that maybe lends itself to doing the work of a lawyer. But you're right. From the sounds of it, doesn't sound like this is the right career path potentially.
Yeah. Oh yeah. If I had to bet, like my guess right now, if it was just yes or no, I would say clearly, I would say no. I mean, I'm going to be wrong sometimes, but you know, I only have to be right half the time, right? Or more than half the time. And I'm sure I'm right more than half the time here. It's like you don't sound like somebody who knows what they're getting themselves into. And I think you're going to be like me and like Ben Olson, who neither of us knew what we were getting ourselves into. We both had plenty of gas in the tank. We had all the horsepower. Okay. Like I could do that work if I wanted to do that work. Ben and I both showed up at law school and both were just like, oh my God, this sucks. Like, I do not. It would be my worst nightmare to actually have to practice law. And that's true no matter who the client is. It's just, I don't want to play that game. And it was unfortunate that I didn't figure that out until 3 years of law school. I would encourage Anonymous and all of our listeners to try to figure that out before you start law school. Internships, informational interviews with lawyers, read Don't Go to Law School Unless, read, there's another one called Law School Confidential. Try as much as possible to familiarize yourself with the work that you're going to actually have to do, and then get into all of these discussions about where you should go and what type of money you might be able to make after school.
Absolutely. Email daily at lsatdemon.com if you'd like to ask us a question or share some LSAT or law school admission news. Thanks for listening. Thank you.